Hey, it's Subby.
We have a tornado possible tag on both of these cells.
These things are spinning up tornadoes very, very, very quickly.
They'll have a tornado warning out. That's going to be for this circulation right along 13 Highway. It is moving to the northeast.
Here's thunderstorm warning.
Tree down, power outage.
Let's go ahead and take your tornado precautions.
Welcome to Subby's Weather Talk. All right, welcome to Subby's Weather Talk Podcast, episode number 4. We have an awesome guest today, and I'm very excited to have him here on the show, and that would be Hunter Lovewell. He is a field specialist in agronomy with the University of Missouri Extension Office. Hi, Hunter.
Hey, Subby. How's it going today?
It is going great, man. It's hot. It's getting hot, and next week it's even going to be hotter. But, thanks so much for being part of the show today, Hunter. So, for those that are listening, I first came to know Hunter via my time at Ben Ware Tractor and Auto on the Strip in Yerick, Missouri. That's a little plug there for Patrick, hint, hint. Anyway, Hunter was a frequent customer, and I helped him get his old International Cyclo Planter up and running. Well, of course, every time he came in, we started talking about the weather, ag equipment. Next thing I know, he's some big shot agronomist in Missouri. So what I would like to know is, Hunter, how did you get your start in the field? What territory you cover? And maybe a few things that you do that are part of your job title.
Yeah, well, thanks again, Subby, for having me. That was an awesome introduction. I appreciate that a lot. You know, how'd I get to this point? I guess real quickly, you know, I grew up in a farm around Creighton, Missouri, Lovewell Cattle Company, raised registered beef master cattle, you know, grew up around the cattle, around row crop a little bit as well, big into FFA in high school, really involved in that, and then went on to school at College of the Ozarks, did some work in ag, and continued on for a master's down at Oklahoma State, plant science, soil science as well. So, you know, went through the motions there, and then through another little while, I was able to get on with this this job and with MU Extension. Been on the job for a little over a year now. Yeah, so I'm really happy to be here and to talk to you today.
Well, that's awesome. Now tell me a little bit something. Now, who do you cover? What areas do you cover around West Central Missouri?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm actually headquartered in Nevada out of Vernon County, as well as Vernon County. I cover several others, including Bates, Cass, Jackson, Cedar, and St. Clair counties. So if you're in those counties, and you know, love to talk to you and get to know you.
Man, that's awesome. Now, I mean, that's if you really think about it, when you look at it on a map, that entire area is all ag in that area. And with myself working on the ag side for the last 25 years, you've got quite a job and quite a territory to cover.
Yeah, definitely. I, you know, my area is nice because we got a really good mix of you know, row crop as well as cattle and livestock country. So, you know, really kind of gives me a good variety of things to work with.
Oh, excellent. Well, you know, obviously you and I, we talk a lot about weather, as you've been a member of Subby's Weather Talk for quite some time, as well as your family. So far, I have not seen corn in any better shape than what I see right now driving down the gravel roads. And I also just read yesterday where we are at 61% of the U.S. corn crop that has reached a silking stage or beyond versus the five-year average of 56% of the time. I also read 65% of soybeans were blooming as well, which is 5% ahead of average. So for those listeners out there right now, Hunter, they might not know exactly what some of the terms are. Why don't you explain what the term silking stage means for corn?
Yeah, sure. In simple terms, silking, you know, is basically when that corn plant, that corn crop is going into a reproductive phase. And so, silking is just kind of one half of the whole situation there. You know, in simple terms, the ear on a corn plant is the female part, and then you have that tassel up top. That's the male part. And essentially, for that pollen that is up in that male part to be able to fertilize the female part, which is that ear of corn, you have to have those silks develop and grow out the top of that ear. So it's an essential stage of development. And, you know, without the silking stage or the silks coming out of that ear and being able to receive that pollen dropping down, we wouldn't have a corn crop and, you know, you wouldn't have any yield. So for any producers or farmers out there, or anyone really that wants to know, it's an essential part. To produce a crop, you have to have silks.
So I guess those numbers that were thrown out there where we were at 61% of the U.S. corn crop and 65% of soybeans that were blooming, I take it those are good numbers.
Yeah, I would say that's pretty good. I would say that, you know, those if those are national numbers, I think, if I'm understanding that correctly, you know, I think here in Missouri, I mean, our area, really across the state, I would say, and parts of the Midwest, we've really kind of have an early corn crop and then a later corn crop. We kind of had, and I know, Seba, you can definitely talk on this, but that late April, early May, we had a lot of rain. That early corn, if it made it and it was early enough, it's doing probably pretty dang good. But there's a lot of corn that had to be replanted, and so there's going to be some catching up to do, you know, on the soybeans. Seems like, you know, just from talking to people, soybeans have had kind of a slow start getting up and growing. I think we're getting past that now. But no, overall, I mean, I would say, you know, definitely compared to the last year or two, we are in much better shape than we have been as far as, you know, crop conditions.
Yep, and I can attest to that just driving down the gravel roads in the county. And you kind of brought up the point that I was going to hit next as far as that heavy rainfall that West Central Missouri received back in April. Of course, it, you know, did it hurt the crop production earlier in the year? Kind of what you had kind of mentioned, or pose any risk as we get closer to harvest, or is that pretty much behind us now and we're just looking ahead?
There's different ways to look at it. I think with the corn crop, at least, you know, like I kind of mentioned, we kind of have an early crop and a late crop. You know, that's going to extend harvest time out, so people are going to be in the field longer off and on. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. We've been, you know, I think we've been pretty blessed to be getting some pretty timely rains throughout the summer now in the growing season. As long as we continue to get some rain and have decent weather, don't have extremely hot conditions for some of that later corn during pollination, I don't see why it couldn't be a very good year.
Well, good, good. I know there's a lot of farmers out there that love to hear that. Well, you know, outside of looking at these crops being great so far, with all the moisture and the great temperatures here that we've had in West Central Missouri, and, of course, I do follow you also on social media through the Missouri Extension Office, and I think you had even had a topic on this here recently. But outside of the high moisture, great temperatures, is there anything else that could pose a problem to crops this year because of these weather conditions?
No, I appreciate you asking and mentioning that. If we switch gears a little bit and talk about hay production, more on the livestock side of things, you know, I think there has been some challenges this year that have been different than the last couple of years. First off, I'd say I'm personally really happy for the rainfall. As far as production, hay production and tonnage is concerned, we're definitely ahead the last couple of years. I think people are rolling up hay and definitely have more bales, which is a good thing, than the last couple of years. I will caution, though, that, at, you know, at the same, kind of looking at the opposite side of the coin here, we have more tonnage, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's high-quality feed. I recently put together an article about hay that gets rained on after it's been mowed. I think that is something that a lot of people could relate to this year. We've had good conditions. It's growing, but we mow it down, and then, especially the last few weeks, trying to get enough time for that hay to dry down and be able to get baled up at a good moisture range without getting rained on, it has been kind of challenging. It's kind of been a gamble. And so that's one thing that definitely has to be looked at as well.
Do we have to worry anything because the moisture out there, the temperatures have been hot? Do we have to worry? And of course, this comes from my 25, 28 years on the ag side. We also have to be a little bit concerned about diseases as well, probably. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing about having more moisture this year, you know, getting later in the season on the row crops, that is one thing to be mindful of out there right now. If you're out in your fields looking, you know, look for diseases developing. You know, moist conditions, humid conditions can definitely play a role in those things developing. And if you see something, then you can weigh your options of should I apply a fungicide or not and things of that nature. But yeah, definitely that is something to think about this year.
One thing that, now would you say that these guys are spending more money on spraying this year because of that? Or is it about average year as far as the money, the time that they're putting in on spraying their crops?
You know, that's a good question. I think with the wetter conditions, it could be possible. It could make sense to maybe spend a little more time or make another pass or two across the field. Problem with that is, of course, is our wetter conditions makes it harder to physically get across the field. So ground rigs are going to have a harder time with that compared to an airplane or a drone, for example. But, yeah, no, I think, you know, at times in a wetter year like this, we do have to think about maybe spending a little more money and going across that field again later in the season. But then again, you have to weigh, you need to truly try to make an educated decision on, okay, I do have some diseases developing, but is it truly worth me spending the money buying the fungicide to apply? Because a lot of times I'm skeptical that it actually makes sense to do that. You know, and furthermore, to be honest, I mean, we don't like to talk about it, but if we look at the crop prices this year and the market, I'm not so sure I would get too gung-ho, basically, to be spending too much extra money.
With my relationship that I've had on the ag side for, and again, for the last 25, 28 years, working with farmers and families of farmers such as yourself and your family, you know, I develop a relationship with you guys that's been the hardest transition for me, has been to go away from that customer service aspect from behind the counter and do my passion here at the radio station, you know, being a meteorologist. So one thing that I try to do is take, for instance, like on Saturday, I put out my ag and weather report, and there's some great information in there as far as great spraying conditions, what the winds are going to be, what the humidity is going to be, what is the ability of being able to just drive out into your fields. I mean, I want to be able to have information out there because we are in such an ag community, ag-based community, that I want to get this information out to everybody. And and again, those, it's in my blogs. You guys can check it out every Saturday, and it will have a detailed report on what the current ag weather prognosis is through USDA, as much as some of my own information for our specific area, and some great valuable information, because I know this is a livelihood. This is just not a side gig for you guys. This is your livelihood for you and your family, and I want to do everything that I can in my power to try to help that out. And I've made some portfolios here over the last few months for some area farmers with weather outlooks based on the LRC. Now, do you remember what the LRC was through all of our conversations, Hunter?
I do remember discussing this there at the parts counter. You know, it's pretty fascinating. It does seem, from, you know, what little I've gathered, it does seem to make a lot of sense to me.
Well, at the LRC, and for those of you that maybe unsure of what the LRC is, in a nutshell, it is stand for the Leeds-Ack recurring cycle. And basically, it's a 46-day cycle this year. Every year, you're going to have a different cycle length. And a local meteorologist from the KC Metro, Gary Lezak, came up with this methodology about 30 years ago. And I have been a follower and proponent over the last 20 years, in which every year sets up a little bit differently. There's a certain amount of days in between the cycles, and it is amazing for long-range forecasting. His 120-day forecast is 88% accurate. Now, you take a 3-day forecast from the National Weather Service, is 85% accurate. So, I mean, I think our kids and our grandkids are going to be utilizing this this methodology for years to come. But so far, the projections have been spot on for some of the portfolios that I have sent out to some area farmers. Plus, we're looking at West Central Missouri hitting at least 105% of average precip for the months of August and September, which is fantastic. And currently, the LRC is also not showing much of a big dramatic heat wave that could last more than a couple, 3 days, one in which we will be going through next week, in which there could be around 3 days we could hit that triple-digit mark. But all the indications is that crop conditions will still remain pretty favorable for our area. And, you know, farmers are needing a good year of crop production, as they've been so stressed out, Hunter, over the last few years with droughts and floods. And I don't know how they do it without being on some kind of potent high blood pressure medicine, because I know I would be. We owe a lot out there to the farmers that bring food to our tables and fuel in our cars. And we owe a lot to individuals such as yourself, Hunter, for giving these farmers a resource tool to allow them for success out there in the field. So thank you so much for being on the show today. So one thing I do want to talk about before you get out of here is I want you to tell the folks out there how they can get a hold of yourself or maybe another local agronomist in their area to help with any of their questions or concerns of anything maybe we talked about today. So why don't you let them know how they can get a hold of you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's myself, but there's other agronomists in different areas, including Henry County. So for me specifically, you can reach out to the Vernon County MU Extension Office. You can call the Extension Office here in Clinton for the local agronomist as well, if you're in Henry County or the surrounding area as well. But, you know, we're pretty easy to track down. You can look up MU Extension Agronomists, I'm sure, or something like that, and you're going to find us. Or stop at your local Extension office. They will direct you to find us. And I would like to say just real quick, Subby, thank you very much for having me on and inviting me. This was really fun. I enjoyed it. And, I mean, as, you know, speaking as Extension Agronomist, but as a, you know, someone that's involved in production agriculture directly and has grown up in the region, locally here, this is great. We have desperately needed a local weatherman. I mean, to be honest, someone that understands the business and understands, you know, how vital good accurate weather information is for us in the field. So thank you for doing this. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thanks for the kind words there, Hunter. And anything that I can do to help out the community, I'm 100% for. And again, thank you for being a part of the podcast today here at Radford Media Group. And I hope I can have you on again. And hopefully we have more positive things to talk about.
Absolutely. I would love to do it again. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Hunter.